I'm really trying to learn, to be honest with you. I hope I've got it down. Boy, I don't know, it was probably 2 or 3 years ago, at least Mrs. Noble played a song one day, and I said, "What is that?" And she said, "Well, it's Don't You Want to See Daybreak." I like the tune, and I like the words. Yeah. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. Don't you want to see daybreak over on the other side? Don't you want to see Jesus who was crucified? Don't you want to hear him shout, "Hello, come and see the one who loved you so"? Don't you want to see daybreak? Don't you want to see him? Don't you want to see daybreak when his coming splits the eastern sky? Don't you want to sing wonderful when the dead shall rise? Don't you want to sit at Jesus' feet, watch children play along a golden street? Don't you want to see daybreak? Don't you want to see him? Don't you want to see daybreak in the city of eternal life? Don't you want to hear him say, "Well done, come on in, it's all right"? Don't you want to hear the music ring in the valley of eternal spring? Don't you want to see daybreak? Don't you want to see him?
Amen. Amen. And I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me, the lily of the valley. Everyone together.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. He make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay.
Tells me every care of him.
Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright
morning star. He's the very something
power
to my soul.
Sing that second.
He'll never, never leave me,
nor yet forsake me here.
While I live by faith and do his blessed
will. Of all the power of me, I nothing now in fear.
With his manner, my hungry soul shall fear. Then sweeping up to glory to see his
blessed
where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
Hallelujah.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star.
He's the fairest of 10,000 in my soul.
Amen. How you been doing? Good. So let's stand together and sing that last hymn. There is power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Now come on, if you believe what you sing tonight, sing it out.
Oh, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil of me? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, one working power in the blood.
There is power, power,
one working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the second,
would you be free from your passion and pride?
Power in the blood,
power in the blood, come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. Sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Lifted out on the last, oh, would you do service? There's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Come on, there is power, power, a wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bible. And open it up, follow along with us, and we'll try to have a good time in the Word of God tonight. All right? Romans chapter 8. We're going to use, we'll read several verses here. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Before we go any further, let me ask you to pray for Mrs. Dunbar. Brother Dunbar mentioned to me she's running just low fever tonight, so pray for her if you would. Forgot, I didn't write it down, so I didn't have it on my list. And after I had made the announcements and I sat down over here, I think, well, before I start preaching, I'll do that. But I meant to do it before I read the scripture. But, hey, just remember, all right? Won't you draw your attention back to verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I want to remind you, okay? I told you last Sunday, I said, we're talking in chapter 7. I said, chapter 7, if you will, I kind of look at it as the bad news, all right? The bad news, because the context of chapter 7 is a discussion, if you will, of the two natures of the believer. Well, we have two natures, been born again. And it talked about the conflict between what the flesh wants and then what the new man in Christ wants to do. And there's a conflict there. There's a struggle. And much of that bad news in that chapter, because the strength of the pull of the flesh that we deal with all the time. To the point Paul said, what I would do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, that's what I do. He said, that's how much of the pull that flesh has. But I told you last week in chapter 8, we're getting the good news, all right? We're getting the good news. Now, the context is still the same. All right, you with me? The context is still the same. We're talking about a believer. We're not talking about a lost man. We're talking about a believer. And we're talking about one that's been born again. And the Bible gives us this right here. I put it this way, we have this right, and that is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What a blessing it is. No condemnation, the Bible said, for the man that's born again, for the man that is in Christ Jesus. And that is not because of us, all right? But you read verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, all right? What he did when he went to the cross, he died for us, took our place, and he provides for all of us that'll trust him, accept him, believe him by faith. He says, I'll give you freedom from the law of sin and death. What a wonderful thing that is. Folks, what a wonderful thing it is to know you never have to worry about death. Amen. Never have to worry about death. You say, well, preacher, we still die, but you don't have to worry about it. Amen. You don't have to worry about it, because to the believer, it's just a move. Amen. We move from this world to be with the Lord, all right? That's the move that's made. And the great thing about it is it doesn't take forever. The Bible tells us instantaneous. Amen. Just instantaneous. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's a quick move, not a long, drawn-out thing. Basically, boy, you breathe, you draw your last breath here, the next one's in heaven. Amen. Just that quick. What a blessing it is. What a right that gives us because of what the Lord did for us. But I want you to look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Weak through the flesh. Let me say this to you. There was nothing wrong with the law. And there was nothing wrong with the giver of the law. Okay? The weakness was in the ones that had to keep it. That was where the weakness was. The weakness was in the ones that had to keep it. Boy, you ever read that Old Testament law? You know, I'm not talking about Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments. There's enough of a challenge there to keep us busy, all right? We couldn't even keep that. But man, you get over there and you begin to go through and number, you get in Leviticus, you know. That part when you're having to read your, you know, you're trying, I'm going to read my Bible through. And you get into Leviticus and it's tough sledding. Man, it's hard to read through that. But the truth of the matter is a lot of that there is the law that God lays out. And he said, this is what you got to do. This is what you're not to do. And man, you go down through all those and you say, boy, it's hopeless. And you know what? It is. It is because of the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the law wasn't in the law itself. It wasn't in the giver of the law. It was the ones that had to keep that law, all right? The ones that had to keep that law. That's where the challenge is. But man, because of what Jesus did, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. We have a right to not even worry about it. Not even have to worry about it. All right? Man, we have that. We have that now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice the rest of that verse. Almost every new Bible leaves that out. Almost every new Bible leaves it out. And not only that, you'll read some even independent Baptist commentators. We got a book in my library, I was reading, studying, trying to prepare for this message. And this guy, he said, that is not in the original manuscripts. And he says, that is an interpolation. And he says it's an interpolation from verse 4. Notice what verse 4 says. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right? Now, and what they're saying, that crowd is saying, is that that's a discrepancy. Now, listen, folks. You say, preacher, what do you think? I think your King James Bible's right. Amen. I believe it's right. I believe those guys are wrong. Amen. I believe the new Bibles are wrong. I believe they're dead wrong. But now here's the problem, okay? Keep your hand right there in Romans, but let's go back to John chapter 5, would you? And here's the verse they'll flee to and say, well, see, if this verse is true, that verse can't be true. All right, so John chapter 5, verse 24, all right? John chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So they look at John 5, verse 24, and say, that verse says that if, you know, the guy that hears the word and believes on him that sent me, he hath everlasting, he'll never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But they say, if you leave that last half of verse 1 of Romans 8 in, what you're saying is there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You said, preacher, which one's right? Both of them. Amen. Both of them. John chapter 5 is talking about a fellow's lost. That's right. John chapter 5, talking to a man that's lost. And he says, if that man will believe on him, and he'll hear his word, he'll believe on him that sent me, all right? He'll have everlasting life. He'll not come into condemnation. We're talking about the condemnation of hell. He'll never have to face it. Never have to face that. But my friend, that is not the context of Romans 7 and Romans 8. Romans 8 is talking about a man that's saved. Romans 8 talking about a man that's saved. That's why I entitled the message tonight, No Condemnation If. No condemnation if. You say, but wait a minute, we have a right. Yes, we do. But wait a minute, we have a responsibility. You've been born again. You have a responsibility. Look at verse 4 in Romans chapter 8. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yeah, there is a tag. There is a joining of verse 1 and verse 4 because they're tied together, all right? And it gives the responsibility of the child of God. Hey, listen, we have been given, you understand, we have been given the righteousness of Christ. And it's imputed righteousness, given to us. We have that righteousness, all right? And that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We have a responsibility to walk, to live, if you will, after the Spirit. Why? To reveal that righteousness that we've been given. To reveal it, that we've been given it. It belongs to us. You say, preacher, you sure? We'll go to Ephesians chapter 2, all right? Ephesians chapter 2, all right? Ephesians chapter 2. Here's what the Word of God says, all right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says here, for we are His workmanship. Now, who in the world is that we? Well, it's not everybody in the world. Who's the book of Ephesians addressed to? Well, it's addressed to the church at Ephesus. It's addressed to saints. It's addressed to people that are born again. And he says to them, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, notice, walk in them. He said, what are you saying? I'm saying we're to work on the outside what God has already worked on the inside. What He's done in us, we're to turn around and work it on the outside. And when the Bible says work out your own salvation, the Bible's not talking about work so you can be saved. It's because you've been born again. God saved you. When you called upon Him and trusted Him as your Savior, He saved you. He gave you the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now He says, work that out. You're created for that purpose, for good works. Why? To work on the outside what's happened on the inside. Why? Because we have a responsibility to show people out there in this whole world, hey, I've been saved. Something happened to me. God changed me. I'm not the fella I was. Not at all. But here's a problem. Look at verse 5. Back in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 8, pardon me. Romans chapter 8, here's the problem. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here's the problem. Problem is man's natural birth. That natural birth, that fleshly birth, all right, causes you to think about and care about this old flesh. Hey, before you were saved, that's all you cared about. That's all you cared about. You cared about things of the flesh. You didn't care about things of God. Oh, now you might have played lip service to it, but you didn't really care about it. But once you got born again, God did something in your life, okay? But the problem is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But that old flesh, it's still there. And we have it. We've got to deal with it. It causes you to think about and care about the flesh. So the Bible tells us, hey, in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, man. You say, what are you getting at? I'm saying this. I believe to a great extent you got to keep the right mind. You ever hear people say, well, that guy's not in his right mind? A lot of people today, not in their right mind. A lot of people today don't have a right mind, I don't think. But hey, our mind, okay? If those that are after the flesh, we mind the things of the flesh. But if you're after the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded, the Bible says, is death. Oh, it just kills you. Just kills you. Now, it kills your work for God. Kills your testimony for Him. It kills any reputation you might have as a child of God if you're carnally minded. But then on the other hand, all right, to be spiritually minded, notice what the Bible says. It's life and peace. Peace. You know, that's what people want. We want that. We want to enjoy life. We want to have that life. And we want to have peace. Boy, if I could just have peace. That's why so many people today messed up on dope.
Yes, sir.
They're hunting for peace. Now, they know peace doesn't come from the dope. But what they're doing is they get into that and they look into that dope. And they want that dope to provide the peace for them that they need. All right? And that says, I know it won't give it, but just for a little time, it'll block out everything else. Ah, but it comes back. Hey, if you want that peace, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So here we are. Here we are. We have a right. We have a right to no condemnation. But we have a responsibility, okay? We have a responsibility. And there's a reason for all of this. Look, if you will, in verse 8. Look there in verse 8 in Romans chapter 6. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. Oh, listen, do you remember in different stages of your life how you wanted to please different people? If you're normal, there was a time in your life you wanted to please mom and dad. You wanted to please them. You wanted to live a life. You wanted them to be pleased with what you did. A lot of kids today, they'll play baseball or something like that, and they look in the stands, and all they want is a beam of approval from mom or dad in the stands. I just want to know you're pleased with what I do. Looking for that, you know, I want to please you. Then as you get a little older, there comes a time you want to please that person you get interested in. That girlfriend or that boyfriend. And a lot of times people get too much taken up with wanting to please that one. But we want to please them, all right? Want to make them happy. And, I know a little bit more about it from the guy side because, hey, I'm a guy, all right? And I remember those days in dating as well. You know, we might be doing something. I'd say, well, you know, let's go get something to eat. Where would you like to go? And usually no help.
Amen.
No help. I don't care. Sure. Sure. But we want to please them. After you get married, I hope you want to please your spouse. I hope you want to please them. We do. But wait a minute. How about pleasing God?
Amen.
How about pleasing Him? He's the one that died to give you eternal life. He's the one that fixed it where He paid the price, and so He's made you free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Don't you want to please Him? You want to stop and think, how can I please Him? I'll tell you this, He does not and He will not commend or condone what is done in the flesh and or for the flesh. He's not going to do it. He's not going to condone that. He's not going to say, good job, good job. Man, I've seen parents praise their kids for things they ought to whoop them for. You know, but, you know, we want Johnny to have a good self-image. Well, there's good ways to make that self-image. Hey, we need to know that. Listen, you're not going to please God. And God's not going to condone when you live in the flesh. The Bible's very plain. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Isn't that pretty simple? Isn't that apparent? He's not going to condone what you do in the flesh? He's not going to commend it. I'll be honest with you. I believe this with all my heart. I believe you could get up and sing a special and have a marvelous voice, but if you do it in the flesh, I don't believe God's pleased. Amen. I don't believe God's pleased. I believe you could have great, immense talent, sit down with any instrument. You pick the instrument, play that instrument in a marvelous way with a gifted touch, but if you do it in the flesh, I don't believe God commends it. I don't believe he's impressed by it, okay? But I do believe he's impressed by people that will trust him and seek to please him by living in the Spirit. I believe he does, all right? I believe it with all my heart. God doesn't please those that are in the flesh either. You said you cannot please him if you're in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, God doesn't please you either. I mean, if you're there, nothing. People that are in flesh dislike his holiness. Dislike the holiness of God. They dislike his book. That's the reason a lot of people today want to get rid of this old King James Bible, because it nails their hide. It won't gloss over their sins. It won't excuse them. And so they want to get rid of that. Hey, they're not pleased by his gospel. They're not pleased by his preachers. And they're not pleased by the way that book is preached, okay? And you just can't satisfy, well, it's too hard. Or that preacher yells too much. Or, you know, he points his finger too much. Well, don't be guilty. You don't have to worry about it, right? But, hey, when you're in the flesh, you can't please God and you're not pleased with God. You're not pleased with him. But let me say this to you. And we'll be done. This could be record time tonight. We have a resource. We have a resource. I want you to look at verse 9. Now, we left off reading at verse 8. But the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Remember what I told you? I said chapter 7 is kind of the bad news. Boy, we've got a struggle. There's a fight that goes on between the old man and the new man, that old nature and the new nature, between the flesh and the spirit. It's a struggle, and it's a very hard struggle to overcome. But I told you, chapter 8 is the good news. And the good news is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I do believe, if you will, that disclaimer is important. Right. Who walk not after the flesh. He's talking to saved people. Amen. We're not talking about condemnation for hell. We're not talking about condemnation for hell. There were times when my brother was growing up, the dad had to correct him. Not me, of course, but him, all right? That didn't mean he was no longer my dad's son. Dad, correct us. It didn't mean you're out of the family, boy. We're done with you. I mean, you know, he never told us. Now, listen, here's the way it's going to be. I'm keeping track of how many times I have to spank you fellows, and if we get to this certain number, you're out of the family. We're going to disown you. We're going to, you know, disinherit you. You're done. Well, he never did that. Never did that. But he never condoned the bad things we did. He never said that was good. It's good. I've heard him say a lot of times that wasn't good. I mean, just a lot of times. I tell you about the time we were in church and we had opera chairs. Man, it's a long time ago in Vidalia, Georgia. We had those opera seats. That's what they called them. They would fold up, you know, individual seats. And I just got the spirit of Abraham in the service one night. And Abraham searched for a city whose builder and maker was God. I was searching for the seat that God wanted me to be in. And I was sitting there, and I slid. If I had any friends, I wouldn't have got in trouble like this. Somebody would have been sitting with me. No, I'm just kidding. But I was sitting there in that seat. You had to slide up in the seat, you know, before you could slide over to the other seat. And I slowly worked my way down the road during the preaching. You know, don't ask me. Kids are retarded, all right? I've said this. You know, it's like nobody will notice it if I do it slow, all right? My dad's up there looking at me. You know, he knows what's going on. There's not any deal where he says, well, gee, I couldn't tell you were moving, son, you know. When you're up here, you see everything. And so after the service that night, he didn't say, man, I just want to, what were you doing? Well, God spoke to me, Dad. No, but God did speak to me after service, all right? He did speak to me after service. And, you know, I never have been tempted to do that again. Ever. Never been tempted to do it again. But he didn't condone it. Listen, you may be saved, but if you're living in the flesh, God's going to condemn what you're doing. God's going to condemn what you're doing. He's not going to okay it. He's not going to pat you on the back, all right? But I said there's good news. You've got a resource. That resource is the Holy Spirit of God. Saved man is in the Spirit. But wait a minute. That Spirit is in you. It's in you. Notice what the Bible said there in verse 9. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And then it comes to the last part. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's lost, and lost as lost can be. He's none of his, the Bible says. So if you have, you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God, you've got him, you're in the Spirit, but that Spirit is in you. You say, where's the good news? He can help you. He can help you. You don't have to walk in the flesh. You just don't have to do that. You said, but you've already said how strong the pull is. I know it. But boy, the Bible says we can yield to the Spirit. We can yield to the Spirit. I guarantee you the Spirit of God is stronger than your flesh. But the problem is we don't yield to the Spirit. Most of the time we're kind of like this. Just stay there. I'll handle this. Stay there, Spirit. I'll handle this. Don't worry. This is not beyond me. I can do this. No, you can't. But we have a resource. You don't have to walk in the flesh. You don't have to walk after the flesh. You don't do it. Now, you can stumble in life into the flesh, but you don't have to remain there. Yeah, you can stumble along the way of life. You're walking, trying to live for God. Yeah, there'll come a time you'll stumble, sin will show up, temptation smacks you. You'll stumble. Well, wait a minute, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay. You don't have to walk in it. You don't have to walk in it. You know, you can step in the mud puddle, but you don't have to walk in it. You don't have to walk in it. We had the parking lot out here redone. And, man, before we did, we had major water that would remain on the parking lot. Now, it's pretty minor. It's pretty minor. But even then, you know what? You don't have to walk in it. But you ever watch a kid? One of the most entertaining things at school is to dismiss the kids at school after it's rained. And there's puddles out there. And you watch that child, splash, 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 splash. Do they have to do that? No. No. It's a choice. Now, why do they like to do it? The flesh. Ain't a kid been born didn't like a water hole splash in. They like it. They enjoy it. But wait a minute. You're a child of God. He saved you. The Holy Spirit of God moved into your life. He lives in you. You don't have to walk after the flesh. And I want to tell you this. If you'll walk after the flesh, or excuse me, if you walk not after the flesh, and you'll walk after the Spirit, you know what the Bible said? There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You'll never stand before God and have to ask Him to forgive you for what you've done in the Spirit. Never. Never. You'll never hear Him say, that wasn't too good. You really messed up there. No, there's no condemnation. No condemnation at all. Listen, once again, stay with me. I'm not talking about going to hell. You got saved. That took care of that problem. But the context here is a saved man. No condemnation if he'll walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. But we've got the Holy Spirit of God living in us. We don't have to walk after the flesh. Do we still have to contend with the flesh? Yeah. But you don't have to walk after the flesh. Stumble along sometimes, but you don't have to walk after the flesh. You can allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead you and guide you. You know what? He will if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. You know what it'll be? Life and peace. That's what it'll be. Well, I'd rather have the conflict. You know, I talk to a lot of people that have the conflict, but they're complaining about it. I say, did you ever stop to think maybe it's because of the way you're walking? It's what you're doing. I just ask you tonight, where are you walking? After the flesh or after the Spirit? It's your choice. You have a choice. You got the greatest resource ever been and ever could be in the person of the Holy Spirit in you. So where are you walking? Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to realize we don't have to walk after the flesh. But Lord, we're born again, and we can walk after the Spirit and realize there'll be no condemnation. Lord, but instead it'll be the smiling face of our Savior that looks down and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to have a desire to walk after the Spirit, to crucify the flesh, that we might enjoy that life and peace that you promised us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand tonight? We'll sing a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you about something, you need to come. The altar's here. The altar's here. If you need to ask God to forgive you, well, the altar's here. Ask God to forgive you. Whatever the need is, it's here. Would you do what God wants you to do tonight? Would you come while we sing this verse? Come on. Just